There are so many things that we once called impossible. And today they are not only possible, but they are normal and ordinary. Who would have ever thought that a person who stays in front of a camera here in Arizona can be seen by a bunch of people in Sebeș, Romania? Who would have thought 100 years ago that somebody, instead of waiting for receiving news in a newspaper, could actually follow for itself or for herself or for himself developing life in front of his eyes? Maybe people 100 years ago would have said such things are impossible, but it's interesting that the things that we once called impossible, nowadays, they are part of our daily lives. Who would have ever thought 100 years ago that you can fly in an airplane 7-8 miles above the earth, or get a submarine, a boat that goes beneath the water instead of going on top of it? Who would have thought that such thing would be possible 100 years ago? If I were to call you and if I were to ask you, is this impossible? You would say no, because we know that this can be done and it's been done for so long time. So the idea that I want to share with you this morning is that we have to be careful whenever we say that certain things are not possible. We don't know that these things are impossible. You know why? Because they haven't happened yet, and maybe they will happen later at a certain point, when is the due time for them to happen. So maybe some things that we call them impossible today will happen somewhere later. Maybe there's going to be a cure for cancer, a cure for AIDS. Maybe all the wars in this world will end. Maybe the love will take place of prejudice. Maybe prosperity will one day take the place of poverty. These are the things that I just hope for. And calling them impossible, we have to be careful whenever we say, and we have to be cautious whenever we say that some things cannot happen. You see, I found a very interesting verse in the Bible, in Luke 1, verse 37. In other words, if we were to rephrase it, this verse would sound like this. Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing would be impossible for God. So let me ask you, is there anything that can be impossible for God? Some things, most things? No, nothing can be impossible for God. You see, about 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Zechariah, somewhere in the land of Israel. And this man had a wife called Elizabeth. And they had no children. They gave up to a dream that they had for such a long time. They thought everything was all over for them. They've prayed and they thought about this for so long time and nothing happened. And I think they kind of forgot about having children. And it's very interesting that Zechariah went on with his business every day, day by day, at the temple where he was a priest. And I think that Zechariah kind of gave up to a dream of being a father or parenting a child. But one day, the Bible tells us, and if you follow me, one day a messenger of God, an angel, approached him and listened to what he says to him in Luke 1, verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. In other words, Zechariah, get ready, go home, because your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby. The dream you've been praying for, the thing you've been asking to God for, is going to fulfill after so many years. But put yourself now in Zechariah's shoes. How would you react after hearing such news? You would expect, after waiting for so long time, for so many years, to just explode and go outside and leave all the stuff at the altar and go outside and share the news with the people. But this is not the Zechariah we are talking about. Zechariah had been waiting for so long time that he forgot that God could accomplish this dream. So look at him, what he says. In other words, kind of, I try to paraphrase him. He says, "Hey, Mr. Angel, do you know how old am I? Do you know how old my wife is? Do you know that, humanly speaking, it's not possible for us to have a child? Come on, Angel. Are you kidding me? Come on." And you know what's interesting? Reading this story from the Bible, that this brother called Zechariah, he immediately found out how bad is it, to turn down a messenger's message? How bad is it, and how bad they take a message that is not welcome? So this angel told Zechariah, "You know what? I'm trying to bring you good news here, and you're not listening. You see, Zechariah, God wants to do something good for you, and you are not open to this message. Zechariah, listen to me. There is a great news for your family. Listen to me. So if you don't want to listen to what God tells you, here is my deal. And my deal is that you won't be able to speak until the baby comes here or gets here in the temple. Because you didn't have faith, you'll not be able to speak until this promise is going to be fulfilled." And looking at this passage, I found an astonishing idea. That sometimes God has to shut us up so we might be able to hear what is he telling and what he wants to do for us. Sometimes he has to shut us up so we might be able to open our ears and listen to what he says and what he wants to do in your lives and in our lives. Sometimes God takes something that we have in order to give something new and challenges us to something new. And it's not because God wants to punish us. It's not because God is bad with us or he's harsh with us. No, it's because sometimes we are so stubborn about the things that can be and can't be done, so we are not open to let the blessings of God to come upon us. Sometimes God takes something from us to grab our attention and to pay attention to what he says. Maybe this morning, you have a well-paid job. Let's say, for instance, you have a well-paid job. Everything goes smooth in your life. Everything's so good. And suddenly you lose your well-paid job. And you come to God. You cry and ask him, why? Why, Lord, this happened? And after a while, when you finish asking him why, God shows you that he had a better plan for you. Maybe some of us are in a bad relationship that doesn't honor and doesn't glorify God. And he keeps telling you, you have to quit it because this relationship does not glorify him. And you know it's not good. And you're stubborn with your decision. And you stick in the relationship. But you know what? God has its way of making things done and making things work. And after you split up, you cry and ask, Lord, why this? Why has this happened? And he tells you and shows you that he has a better relationship for you that glorifies him. Or maybe you have such a good family. Everything goes smooth between you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your children, you and your parents. And at some point, God challenges you to get out of your comfort zone and get involved in the church, in a ministry, in the church. Maybe you've been studying in school and you have your plans for your future, and suddenly God tells you, you have to make a total shift and get fully involved in the ministry. How would you answer to such a call? And we are so stubborn and said, Lord, no, I have my own plans. No, I have my own dreams. And after you've given up to that, because God has always its way, has always its way of doing things or making things done. And after a while, when you are involved in the church, you realize that the life you have now, being involved, is much better than the life you had before. Because you know what? God always try to get something from us, to get something new, to give us blessings. Because this is the way God works. Because listen to me, that's the message that I want to share with you this morning. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. But as the story goes on, let's look at Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth. If you look further, and if you go further some verses, you see that her cousin, Mary, pays her a visit. And it's very interesting that this girl called Mary is just a kid. And you know what? She's pregnant too. And she comes to Elizabeth, and they are so happy to see each other. And at some point, she shares her a story. She shares with her a news that as the messenger that told Zechariah that Elizabeth is going to have a child, the same messenger came to Mary and told her that she's going to have a child. And here's the news. This child of her is going to be the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And now try to put yourself in Elizabeth's shoes. How would you respond to such a news? Would you be jealous? Would we try to put her down? How would you respond to such a news when somebody has something better than you have? If we look in the Bible, we see that that Elizabeth answered as a child of God answered. You know what she said? She welcomed the message. She blessed Mary. She encouraged Mary. And she was so happy for her. She believed what she said. And she congratulated her. She said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth found joy in Mary's news. Because you see, when you found out that nothing is impossible to God, then you go and share this news with everybody else. Because you do not want to keep this news only for yourself. You want to spread it out with everybody. You want to share this love with other people. You want to share this hope with other people. Because hope is contagious. Joy is contagious. And you want to share with everybody else. You want to spread this encouragement that nothing is impossible for God. Now, if God has done something for you, I think this is the time for you to make a step ahead and share this story with the other people. Listen to me. If you are in the church in this morning and God changed your heart, if God freed you from addictions, if God made you a loving husband, if God made you an obedient wife, if God made you an obedient child, if God made you an honest employee or employer, if God made you a cheerful giver, I think this is the time for you and me to go and share this news with other people. You know what? I think this Christmas is the perfect time to let the people know that this child who was born in Bethlehem in a manger, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the Son of God, can change other people's lives. That's the news. That's the great news of the Christmas. That as you have been changed, other people can be changed. But if God does something for somebody else, be glad for them and bring this news to other people, because Hope is contagious and joy is catching. And I hope the joy of Christmas will catch all of our hearts. And the hope of Christmas will catch the hearts of our families, will catch our hearts, and we'll be glad in the in what God has done for us. You know, nothing is impossible for God. So if you find somebody who has God in the place of his life that thinks that nothing can be done, share with him this news that with God, everything is possible. You encourage them and you encourage yourself. You build them and you boost yourself, because this story that everything's possible with God can change lives. And you know that at the right time, at God's time, you're going to find that believing in God of possible impossibilities, this God will guide you, will heal you, will bless you, and will make you strong. For nothing is impossible for God. Amen.